Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, my week 18 recap, and in it, breaking news from the WNBA. We'll talk about that. Also, a little unrivaled news as well. Also, guys, Wimby out for the season. We'll talk about that also. And guys, there were two different kind of opinions as far as the NBA goes, and we're going to talk about both of those and kind of put them side by side. Also, Bobby Portis suspended. We'll talk about that also. Injury news, Iggy gets his jersey up in Golden State, and a whole lot more. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we are entering week 19, which means week 18 is in the books. And you know, it was kind of half a week because of the All-Star break and so forth. But nonetheless, still chock full of news, actually a lot of news that I have for you. So we will start not with the players of the week. That still hasn't been announced, so that's gone by the wayside. But I did want to talk about some unrivaled news and then some breaking news that just came down. So as far as unrivaled, right now the hot team in the Unrivaled League is actually the Rose Basketball Club. That's the club with Angel Reese, of course, the captain, Chelsea Gray. Also on that team, you have Lexi Hall. You have Brittany Sykes. You have Azaree Stevens. And then, of course, KFC, Kalia Copper. But Kalia Copper and Azaree Stevens have been sidelined, guys. In fact, in their Saturday win, a game that I watched, they played the Lunar Owls, and they were able to get the win, guys, and they knocked the Lunar Owls from the ranks of the undefeated. So, and that was one heck of a game, guys. It took all four of those players. They only played four players that night, and then the following game, they added a fill-in player, and that player is Arielle Atkins, who I'll talk about in a minute. But Rose team is playing hot right now. Angel Reese looked composed, she looks improved, and she played a heck of a game. She had a 20-20 game, which is a first for the Unrivaled League, where she had 22 points, 21 rebounds. So she's got the first 20-20 in that league. And she's just been playing fantastic basketball, guys. And then, of course, the point guard herself, Chelsea Gray, has been absolutely electric in both of those wins there. And actually, the team has a 5-game winning streak going. So they have been the hot team. As I said, they're getting solid contributions from Brittany Sykes. She's been playing well. Lexi Hall, she's been inserted into the starting lineup and kind of giving them some defensive punch because she's able to get after it. So all those players, man, have really bought into what Nola Henry is selling, and they're hot right now, guys. So a lot of people are hoping for a Lunar Owls Rose final. Still a lot more basketball be played before we see that. But, yeah, so I saw them beat the Owls. I saw them about two nights later beat the Phantom team with Satu Sabali on it, Sabrina Ionescu, Brittany Griner. Natasha Cloud. So saw that game, and that was a very competitive game as well. So the Rose are playing great. So big ups to that team. Like I said, that early on, that's the team I'm rooting for. So we'll see what happens with them. But they've been playing great, guys. And it's only a couple more weeks in the rival league before playoffs start. So teams have got to start shoring up. So far, it looks like Lunar Owls and Rose are kind of locked teams for the playoffs. Who comes behind them? It's a whole host of characters, so we'll see what happens as far as who gets those final two spots. So a lot more to be played in the Unrivaled League. We'll see what happens. But as far as the WNBA, breaking news has come down, guys. Diana Taurasi, guys, you heard me talk about her. I've been wondering for the longest time, what's going to become of Diana Taurasi? And then as of this recording, news has come down that she is indeed retiring. 20 years in the league, guys. She's a three-time champion in college with the UConn Huskies. And then a three-time champion with the Phoenix Mercury. And then six times gold winner. First of any basketball player, male or female, six gold medals in the Olympics. So, well decorated, the league's leading scorer, and all the accolades. I'm not going to delve too deep into it because I actually want to do a player spotlight on her, which I will try to compile within the next coming weeks. So, we will have that to you shortly, but big news, Diana Taurasi finally hanging up her sneakers and retiring. So we salute Diana Taurasi for all she has given to the WNBA and for women's basketball as a whole. But again, I'll do a player spotlight on her really soon. This way we can get into that. And then Chicago Sky, they were busy, guys. They made themselves a trade. They had the third pick in the draft, guys, in the 2025 draft. A lot of hand-wringing as far as who would drop to them at three. The way it's looking right now, this is early. But Paige Bueckers, she'll be number one. Now, who goes number two, that's up for debate. A lot of people are saying possibly Olivia Miles of Notre Dame. Then you got Kiki Afferin of USC. And others are starting to come into play. They don't need a big. They need a guard. So I guess in the Sky's mind, they said, do we take the chance and sit there in the draft, see who drops to three, or do we get some talent that can help right away? So they decided, let's get somebody who can help right away. And that player is Ariel Atkins of the Washington Mystics. So they make the trade with the Washington Mystics. They get a draft pick in return, second rounder. But that third pick in the 2025 draft going to the Washington Mystics. So now the Washington Mystics have the third pick, the fourth pick, which is their own. And now they have the number six pick in the draft. So right off the bat, you got three draft picks within the first six picks. So right now, Washington, they're in rebuild mode, guys. They're in rebuild mode. So they're trying to build for the future. So we'll see what happens there. But Angel Reese and Camilla Cardozo get some guard help. Now you have a backcourt of Ariel Atkins, several times an all-star. She's won gold as well. This is a player who, she's a two-way player, guys. She's a bucket, and she can defend as well. She's actually made several all-defensive teams as well. So Ariel Atkins, a very good pickup for them in that regard. So now you have a backcourt of Courtney Vandersloot. Remember, she's come back. And Ariel Atkins. That's a nice enough backcourt to compete in this league. I would like them to get a guard to groom behind Vandersloot. So we'll see what happens in that regard. But hey, Angel Reese is getting her some type of help. So that's great to see. So they have a new coaching staff over there. So we'll see what happens. But Ariel Atkins going to the Chicago Sky. New York Liberty was busy as well. They added Isabel Harrison. And she played for the Chicago Sky last year. She's a big something that they're going to need, guys. So right now, assuming that Stewie comes back, you got Stewie there, Jonquel Jones, you're going to have Niera Sabali there. Kenny Burks is supposed to come back as well. And now you add Isabel Harrison. They're loaded up front, guys. They're loaded up front. So does everybody come back? We'll see. But that's the way it's shaking out for the Liberty. But, guys, if I was the Liberty, I would get somebody to put next to Sabrina Ionescu. You lost Courtney Vandersloot. I understand. I get it. Leonie Phoebus, she'll probably be in the front court along with Stewie and Jonquel Jones. But I think you're going to need a guard to put in there. If I'm the Liberty, since Washington Mystics are kind of selling off their parts, so to speak, I'm looking at Brittany Sykes, guys. If I were the New York Liberty, I'd make some inquiries about Brittany Sykes. You have draft picks you can offer, guys. You have a pick swap in that first round that you can employ. So I think they need somebody put next to Ionescu. I think Brittany Sykes is the perfect player to play next to Sabrina Ionescu. I'm just saying, I don't think Brittany Sykes want to be around for a rebuild. She want to go somewhere where she can win and, you know, she can help compete for a championship. So Brittany Sykes to New York, let's make that happen. So apart from that, I think we're pretty much covered otherwise as far as the league go. And you did see the commissioner at the Unravel game. That was the Rose game versus the Phantom. So what she hopes to gain by checking out the Unravel League, we'll see what happens. Hopefully she gets some ideas because Unravel right now, they're doing their thing over there. So there you go. All right, so enough of that talk, guys. Let us move on. Top stories, guys. Victor Wembanyama out for the season, guys. And he's out for the season with what was diagnosed as a deep vein thrombosis. And this they found in his right shoulder. So it's basically a blood clot, but commonly, this is found in the leg, but in his case, they found it in the right shoulder. And this news came down on February 20th in the afternoon, guys. This was just before they were about to play, in fact, guys. So, Victor Wembanyama, a huge blow to the Spurs organization. To have him out definitely hurts, guys. So, Victor Wembanyama, here's what he was doing as far as the season goes. 21 years old, guys, so he's a young pup. 46 games he played in, averaging over 24 points per game, 11 rebounds, nearly 4 blocks a game, guys. Nearly 4 assists and over a steal per game. Guys, for all intents and purposes, he was the leader in the clubhouse as far as Defensive Player of the Year goes. But that's not going to happen because he doesn't have enough games. He only has the 46 games, so that means somebody else will be in the running for that, unfortunately, for the kid. Shot at 47.6% from the field, over 35% from three, and over 83.5% from the free throw line. He had 28 double-doubles and 1 triple-double on the season, guys. That's the type of year he was having, guys. But again, he's suffering with this blood clot. You have other players that have gone through this. It actually ended the career of Chris Bosh. It ended the career of Mirza Teletovic. It ended his career. Osar Thompson, he had it in his wrist as a rookie, and he was able to overcome that for the Detroit Pistons. Both Chris Bosh, he had it in his lungs. And then Brandon Ingram, he dealt with it. It was actually in his arm in 2019. So he dealt with it, and he was able to come back from that. And then Christian Coloco for the Los Angeles Lakers, he dealt with it in the past as well. So you have players that have dealt with it, some with disastrous results, some with positive results. So at least that's a glimmer of hope for Wembanyama. That is something he can get over. And then also a baseball player who dealt with it is Merrill Kelly, a pitcher actually for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And he had it in his leg in 2023. So all we can say really, guys, we're wishing the best for Victor Wembanyama. Hope he's able to take the medication needed to, you know, deal with the blood clot, and this way he's back on the court come the 2025-26 season. So sending love and light his way that he's able to make a full recovery. So that's that bit of news. And then you have people saying, oh, if that's the case, they're shutting them down so they get a shot at Cooper Flagg, you know, the sensation out of Duke. Here's the thing with that. If that were the case, they wouldn't have made the De'Aaron Fox trade. They made that De'Aaron Fox trade to make a push for the play-in. So, of course, this derails it, obviously. But to say that they're shutting them down and that's the reason, I don't buy it. I think they're siding on the side of caution to treat this with the urgency that it needs to be treated with. They're looking down the road. This is a marathon, not a sprint. So his health long-term is the most important thing. So in my eyes, the Spurs are doing the absolute right thing with this. So I applaud them for that. Also in Spurs news, it was announced that Coach Greg Popovich, that he will not return to the bench for this season. The reports are he's coming along well after the mild stroke. So he's coming along slowly but surely, but he won't be returning to the bench, guys. And the larger question, actually, friend of the show, D, he asked this. Does he come back? Because Greg Popovich, he's about 75, 76 years old. Does he come back for to return? Here's what I'll say. I think he does, but just for a season, because I don't think he wanted to go out that way. I think he comes back for a season. He does his victory lap, so to speak, and he'll retire after the one season. I think he just doesn't want to go out this way. So I give him possibly one more season. I'd be stunned if you go beyond a season. So, but again, of course, we're wishing all the best to Greg Popovich as he recovers. So there's that. All right, guys. So here's what I wanted to talk about next. There was two guys who actually gave two different opinions, but I wanted to link them together. P.K. Subban. Now, this is a guy who's actually, he works for ESPN as a hockey analyst. Full disclosure, he's black. So, black person in hockey, we know how rare that is, but there you go. So, P.K. Subban, he was a defensive player in his day playing in the NHL. He's Canadian born, by the way. I think that needs to be put in this equation. He played in the NHL for 13 seasons. He was a three-time All-Star within that time. He's won several awards, including in 2012 and 13 season. He won the Norris Trophy, which you get for being the top defensive man in the league. So he got that, and then he got a 2021-22 Clancy Trophy, which he got for what he's done as far as racial and social justice, unserved youth, COVID relief, which was big around that time, and youth hockey as well. So he gets the award for that. So I lay all that groundwork to say that P.K. Subban had some stinging words to say about the NBA. And I want to play you, if I could, I want to play you what he said, because I think that's something you guys need to hear. As far as that go, actually, he was on a series of show. He was on Get Up, where he had his initial take, and then he came on First Take, and then that's when he gave the stinging take. As far as that goes, so I believe this is okay. One second. Sorry about that. I'm going to give you the exact take that he had. Oh, I think this is it right here. No, but okay. All right, guys. So this is P.K. Subban, what he had to say.
I'm sick and tired of making athletes greats, all-time greats, that aren't the best examples. Stephen A., you want athletes to be educated on this and understand this. They got to understand the importance of showing up to the All-Star game and being on the court. Because you're making 100, 200, 300 million, you should be out there banged up. You should be. That's why we pay you, is to max out. I don't care if you play 50 years. I want your best 10. I want you on the court dominating. I want you to go all out. I want Michael Jordan. I want Kobe. That's what I want in every sport. That's the guy that I follow. You're a different version than that. You don't get my respect.
So that's what he had to say. He said a number of other things, but with that quote, you get the general gist of what he's saying. So that's what PK Subban had to say about the NBA. Now, I want to play you what Channing Frye. He came on a podcast, Road Tripping. This is a podcast with Ollie Clifton. Channing Frye was on there. And also Richard Jefferson, they all do it. Richard Jefferson, I don't think, was around this day. But they did have a guest on there, Kendrick Perkins. And this is what, if you give me 1 second, I'm going to pull that up. Because I want you to hear what he had to say in that regard. In terms of the guest. This is it here. So this is what Channing Frye had to say. Now, Channing Frye, he's a former Knick. He was drafted by the Knicks. He's played for several teams. He played in Cleveland with LeBron. So so he has an affinity for the, you know, the newer game. He played, actually, oddly enough, like PK Subban, Channing Frye played in the NBA for 13 seasons. He was a power forward, center. He's kind of a stretch power forward, to be honest with you. He won a championship while with the Lake. No. He won a championship, I want to say 2000. Oh, it was with LeBron. He won it with LeBron in Cleveland. So, and this is why I didn't know. He's the cousin of Tobias Harris, so take with that what you will. So this is Channing Frye. Now, he's going to use some colorful words, so brace yourself. So this is Channing Frye, what he had to say. I'll try and cue it up to the
front. Nostalgia is killing the NBA. The 90s basketball, Michael Jordan and Kobe, was not as clean as y'all think it was. Y'all forget that Jordan left the league for 2 years. Y'all forget that Kobe, rest in peace, quit on his team in the playoffs and did not shoot the basketball. So all this Kobe, Jordan, oh, he's not this, he's not that, that is propaganda. Every great player, whether that's Ant, Wemby, Vaughn, you know, Steph, this, that. You know they compare him to? A motherfucker 40 years ago. The rules weren't even the same. You're not really watching help side defense. Who's doing this? What is this rule? What is that rule? You're not watching. Nobody celebrates these new people. So why the fuck would anybody want to be the face of this league where you're going to get shitted on every network for not being somebody from 40 fucking years ago? It's ridiculous. It is unfair. Braun is one of the greatest players ever to play. Stephen Curry is one of the greatest players ever to play. Giannis is one of the great. Jokic. And you know what we do? We talk about fucking Michael Jordan. All this superstar era shit is over. The card cap called the second apron, it's over.
That's enough of that. All right. So that you heard what Channing Frye had to say. Here's what I'll say about, because I think both of them correlate. I think you have Channing Frye getting after what PK Subban had to say in terms of the NBA players and kind of the media as a whole. And so I think that's why these two bits of sound you heard, I put them together. I don't disagree with, actually, okay. PK Subban, I understand what he's saying. I get what he's saying as far as the effort goes, as far as the want to goes. And I don't think we need an all-star game to highlight that. But And we'll just use that as a frame of reference for today. And you've heard me talk about it, guys. Effort. Effort. That's all we ask of players is effort. And you got some people saying, oh, but it's an all-star game. It should be all for fun. It can, why can't it be both? Why can't it be where, you know, you have your fun and so forth, you throw your alley-oops or what have you. Then once the game starts to get serious in the second half, you lock down, you start getting after guys, defending guys, and you're not having this ole to the basket. So I think you can have fun and at the same time compete. I don't think one is separate from the other. So in that case, I agree with P.K. Subban. Now, they also had Chris Canty on there. I love Chris Canty, by the way, former New York Giant. And this is a motto that he says, and I fully stand behind. Leave the game in a better place than when you found it. I 100% agree with that quote. Leave the game in a better place. And the question that LeBron James, that a Kevin Durant, that a Steph Curry have to ask themselves as they're the face of the league, guys, those three guys. Let us be clear about that. Are you guys, as elder statesmen, leaving the game in a better place than where you found it? I dare to say no. Sure, they're getting the big bucks and so forth because of the salary cap and the money and so forth, but I don't think you're leaving it in a good place because the competitiveness is not there. It's not there. As far as, again, we're using the All-Star game as a backdrop here. You know, they had to change it last year because they rang up over 200 points in the All-Star game, which is insane. And I was kind of trying to look at the history of the All-Star game to see where it started to go wrong. And I think maybe 2015, 2016, then you started having the players draft the teams, and then LeBron teams started winning all the time. In fact, they won about five straight. And then you finally had team Giannis break that streak. And then right after that, they go and change the format and go right back to East and West again. So there's that. But again, the All-Star game, I think there's a fix that could be applied here. And then here's what P.K. Subban kind of left out about his sport. They went to the Four Nations sort of model this year. Do you know why they ended up going to that Four Nations model? It's because their All-Star game got kind of lax where you're allowing guys to score all these goals and whatnot. Once you start getting seven and above goals in a game, you got to kind of question what's going on. So they changed the format this year, and it got rave reviews. I think the NBA could employ something like that, but I think this is how they would have to do it. You have a Team USA. You have a Team Canada because you got a lot of Canadian players in this league. You do a Team Europe, and then you do a Team Africa. I know it's not a huge amount of African players in the league, but I think that's the way you go. Now, how would you handle the voting? That's where it gets a little tricky. Maybe you don't have voting. Maybe you just, you know, you have a coach of the team, and somehow, some way, they select the players. So maybe you go that route, and then you take the whole voting issue out of it. So there you have that. So I think that could kind of work in a kind of a, again, where it's a semifinal. I think it needs to be a full game for both, to be honest. Yeah, like your semifinal is a full game, and then your final is a full game. I think you have to go that route. I don't think it should be with the first team to 40 or 50. So I think that can kind of help in that regard. You're still playing a full game. You still have records you can get and achieve, but it's in a game setting and not in this best of 40 or 50 points. So you have that. So, again, I agree with P.K. Subban. I just thought he should have brought up the fact that his sport changed their format because kind of the same reason as the NBA. They would get kind of lax with it. That's other than that, I had no real issue with what P.K. Subban had to say. And as far as the players resting and so forth, again, here's where I wrestle with that. Is it the player's call or is it management's call? A lot of people are saying it's management's call. So I don't think you can 100% put the onus on the players if management is making the calls as far as who plays and who doesn't. That's another thing I just want to clear the air with. So that's my take as far as P.K. Subban. As far as Channing Frye, I think he's out of line. I think he's out of line because in any sport, you're going to have nostalgia. That's just the way it is, guys. That's just the way it is. And you don't think Larry Bird in his day, he was getting compared to somebody? Of course he was. You don't think Magic was getting compared to somebody like Oscar Robertson? That's the first name I thought of. Oscar Robertson, he got compared to him. Larry Bird got compared to a Rick Barry. That's just the nature of sports. You're going to get those comparisons. You take the NFL. Of course, Tom Brady's going to get compared to a Joe Montana. And then as far as running backs, you know, Derrick Henry will get compared to Eric Dickerson. That's just the nature of sports. That's what we do. So to say nostalgia is killing the NBA, I think that's a bit much. Sure, you have your old style media heads who are going to gravitate to Jordan as their GOAT. Again, I don't deal with the GOAT issue, not on this show. You ain't going to hear me talk about it, but I'll talk about it to ridicule people for talking about it. That's the extent I'll go. But yeah, so I do think there needs to be a consideration for what the players in the league are doing now. I think that there's a need for that as far as individual players go. As a team, as a whole, you know, got this whole thing with the three-point shot kind of infiltrating the league. I saw a stat the other night where both teams had, between them both, they had 16 three-point shots made. They attempted 75, guys. Good Christ. That's bad basketball. There's no other way of saying it. That's bad basketball for it to be like that. But I digress. But nostalgia, no. I'd say nostalgia is not killing the basketball. I won't say that. I can't say that. I think, again, there's storylines that you could talk about in the NBA and that fans need to be told about, because that's what you're here to do. You're here to steer the fans and tell the fans, you know, the stories that are taking place. And in some respects, I'll agree with Channing as far as these old recycled storylines of LeBron this, LeBron that, you know, to everything LeBron, everything Steph, that sort of thing. That does get a little tired. There's other players doing fantastic things. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander comes to mind, a guy who's tearing it up right now, who I think could end up being the MVP of the league. Of course, you got Jokic having a fantastic season carrying that Denver Nuggets squad. Of course, you got the story, and this is a story not even being told, what Memphis Grizzlies are doing. They're having a fine year, guys. What they're doing, Houston, they're starting to slip a little bit, but still Houston's a great story. Knicks, you know, they're having a fine season. I know First Take is always talking about that. It seems like they take pot shots, especially when they start to lose, but that's a story for another day. But, yeah, so there are other storylines that you can give to the fans, but you have to give them those and not rehash these old tired LeBron topics, you know, and Steph topics. So I'm just saying there's enough to go around. There's enough love to share to go around. That's all I'm saying with that. Yeah, so I'll just leave it alone at that. So that was my take as far as the two guys goes. What one said as opposed to the other. So let's move on. Bobby Portis, banned 25 games, guys, for using an illegal substance. He used the painkiller Tramadol, but he actually thought he was, oddly enough, he thought he was using Toradol, which is actually a legal substance. So this sounds like an issue he's got to take up with his pharmacist, where they gave him the wrong thing, and then he ends up getting tested, and he's tested positive. So he's out 25 games. He will return on April 8th, if all bodes well, which will be with about 4 games left in the season, guys. And for the season, he was having a fine season, guys. I think he was on the threshold of another sixth man of the year consideration again. That's as good a year as he was playing. So his agent wasn't too very happy at all. In fact, let me pull up what the agent said. Give me 1 second. Because his agent was none too thrilled with all that took place as far as him goes. Okay. Here's his agent. I think it's Michael Bartenstein or Mark. I am deeply disappointed that the NBA chose to interpret its policy so strictly that the policy does not allow for a different result for an honest mistake with pure intentions, Wallstein said in a statement. Bobby loves being a part of the NBA. He loves being a role model and a true ambassador for the Bucks in the city of Milwaukee. This has been incredibly difficult for him, but he will accept this punishment with grace and turn this into a great opportunity to improve and further build his reputation and performance in every way, both on the court and off it. So that's what the agent of Bobby Portis had to say. And Bobby Portis has had a tough year thus far. He's lost his grandmother. He had to miss six games for that. And then also he was one of those athletes who, with a Florida home down in the Tampa area, that those homes that got burglarized, also part of that was Patrick Mahomes, also Joe Burrow. There were other players that were in on this set of homes that got burglarized down in the Florida area. So he's dealing with a lot of stuff. So, but Bobby Portis suspended for 25 games, unfortunately, for the Milwaukee Bucks. And it's tough because when Giannis sits, which he does sit quite a bit, guys, you have a Bobby Portis that comes in and fills in his starting spot. So it's going to be a tough go down the stretch for the Milwaukee Bucks. So we'll see. All right, guys. So a few more things and we'll be done. Milestones. Yeah, I meant to talk about this last week. Kevin Durant becomes the eighth player with 30,000 career points. And he does this on February 11th in a loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. And he, on a free throw, is where he makes it to 30,000 points. He joined seven other players: LeBron, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Karl Malone, the late Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Dirk Nowitzki, and Wilt Chamberlain. And you can add an eighth person if you add Julius Erving. If you combine his NBA totals with his ABA totals, he would be in this exclusive list. So Kevin Durant joining the Immortals with 30,000 points scored in the NBA. So kudos to Kevin Durant. James Harden of the LA Clippers, he becomes the 13th player to surpass 27,000 points. And he does that in a February 20th loss at the Milwaukee Bucks. So James Harden entering rarefied air by scoring 27,000 points. Chris Paul, he moves to second all-time in career steals. He passes Jason Kidd, and now he is behind John Stockton now, who's the all-time leader. And he does it in a February 20th win against the Phoenix Suns. And actually, that is the same night that they got the news about Victor Wembanyama missing the season. So, but Chris Paul moves into exclusive club where he's right behind John Stockton in career steals. And then LeBron, another record for LeBron. He's climbing. He's now third in career's game played, passing Vince Carter. So now he's behind Kareem and Robert Parrish. And actually, he could pass Kareem if he plays out the rest of the games this season. And then next season, he can go after Robert Parrish, his record of most games played. So there's that. Andre Iguodala, he had his jersey retired, guys. He had it retired over the weekend. And it was his number 9 jersey for the Golden State Warriors. He's a 4-time champion with them, playing 8 years there, 4 times a champion, and also a finals MVP, guys. And he becomes the 7th player to get their jersey retired with the Warriors. The others are Rick Barry, Wilt Chamberlain, Nate Thurman, Al Addles, Chris Mullin and Tom Meschery. So Andre Iguodala, the first of that dynastic team with the Golden State Warriors to get their jersey retired. Of course, Steph will follow, Klay will follow, Draymond will follow as well. Kevin Durant, I imagine they'll probably put his jersey up, I imagine so. Even if it was just his 3 years there, I think he'll get it retired there, I would think. So, yes. All right, quickly go through this injury news, and then we'll get up out of here. And then my GD's top five, well, big five. Anthony Davis will be reevaluated in 2 weeks with that abductor strain. So Anthony Davis, we're going to look at him in 2 weeks. Hopefully his recovery is going well and he gets back for the Dallas Mavericks. Rudy Gobert of the Minnesota Timberwolves, he's out for 3 games and counting, guys, with back spasms. He experienced this prior to the All-Star break, so he's missed 3 games thus far, and we're just counting to see, you know, when he comes back. So we'll see what happens with him. Staying on the Timberwolves, Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo, they could rejoin the team during their road trip. They have a extended road trip, guys, so it's possible Julius Randle could make it back on the court along with DiVincenzo. Randle has missed 11 games with that groin injury, guys. And then DiVincenzo, he has a toe issue, and he's missed 19 games thus far. So hopefully these guys can get back on out there within this road trip. Doc M. Poulter for the Toronto Raptors, he's missed 7 games, guys, with a hip pointer. Now, there's a chance of him returning back this week. We'll see what happens. Mark Williams, remember I talked about him, you know, the rescinded trade? He's missed 2 of his 4 games back, and that's with foot management. So, you know, the agent was crying loudly, oh, this is not right, and even Charlotte management was crying about the trade being rescinded, but yet he's back with your team and he's missed half of the games that he's been scheduled for with pain management in his foot. So the Lakers don't look as crazy as people once thought they did. So there's that. Norman Powell of the LA Clippers, he's been out 3 games and counting since the All-Star break with knee soreness. So haven't got really a further diagnosis than that, but they've been holding him out 3 games. So we're seeing how the knee is doing and so forth. So we'll see what happens there. Charles Bassey of the San Antonio Spurs. Now, this is the guy who a lot of people are running to the waiver wire to pick up. In light of Victor Wembanyama being on the shelf. But he injures his knee, and this is the same knee that he experienced the MCL sprain, which put him on the sideline for 6 games. And he left a game on February 23rd, a loss to the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans. So I'm sure, maybe minor, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be cautious. So if you picked them up in fantasy, I say drop them at this point. The person to get, Bismack Biyombo, who's actually they're starting over there for the Spurs, and he's been playing well. He's dropped a double-double already, this guy, and he gives you blocks as well. So scoop him up if you're in fantasy basketball. D'Angelo Russell of the Brooklyn Nets, he hurt his ankle in the second quarter of a February 20th loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's been out 2 games, possibly more. He's going to be reevaluated shortly, so we should get some word soon. Now, as far as returns go, Chet Holmgren, he actually returned to the lineup February 7th. I don't know how I missed that after missing the 2 months with his injury. So he's back for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And big news for the Knicks. Mitchell Robinson of the Knicks, he's to make his season debut possibly on February 28th on the road at Memphis. And this is according to Knicks Fan TV, my guys over there, CP the Franchise, Alex and those guys. So this is what they're reporting. Mitchell Robinson back for the Knicks, and not a moment too soon, guys. They're saying he's going to be on a strict minutes restriction there. But, you know, with Tom Thibodeau, we'll see how long he has diminished restriction for him. But good news for the Knicks fans. Good news for Karl Anthony Towns, who can now maybe in future shift over to the power forward. But that's a work in progress, so we'll see what happens in that regard. All right, guys, so that's it for that. Last thing, GD's Big Five. I'll go through them right quick. Change at the top, Cleveland, now number one. In second place, OKC. Boston, third. They've been third all year long. Denver rising, guys. I got them fourth. And then a tie between Memphis and the Knicks at five. I give Memphis the slight edge over the Knicks right now as far as my Big Five goes. So there you go. All right, guys. So thank you for listening. As always, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you'll find me, my episodes, my videos, everything's there. My support buttons, guys, support the show. You know I keep all my information in the scroll, guys. On the website, PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, Spotify. Those are buttons you can use to donate to the show. Cash App, guys, $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude. Email the show, guys, that sportsdudegd.com. No, that sportsdudegd at gmail.com. Again, my email, that sportsdudegd at gmail.com. You'll see it in the scroll. Also, guys, podcast platforms everywhere. YouTube there. Post my links on LinkedIn, Blue Sky, and so forth. Socials, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky. Fan base, I got my videos there, but not all of them. Facebook is pretty much non-existent. Twitter X, non-existent. You know how that goes. So, all right, guys, thank you for listening. As always, your listenership is so important to this show. Much appreciated. And we'll talk soon. Take care.